Davis, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Lately, I've noticed changes in my face and body that I am less than thrilled with, and I am not alone. And my eyes were opened to this reality after reading the fantastic book by today's guest, Vivian Diller, PhD, author of Face It, What Women Really Feel As Their Looks Change. Vivian Diller, PhD, is a clinical psychologist in private practice in New York City. Prior to becoming a therapist, Dr. Diller was a professional dancer with the Cincinnati Ballet Company and a model represented by Wilhelmina Models. She has made numerous appearances on television discussing issues surrounding beauty and aging, and now does individual and couple psychotherapy with a particular interest in helping people transition out of youth-oriented careers. Dr. Diller, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Great to join you.
I am so glad to have you on the show. I loved your book, and it's right up my alley. And as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, I've noticed some changes in my face and body lately, and I'm struggling about the changes themselves. And not only that, but that I care so much. And this is something that you call the beauty paradox. And if you can expand on that for us.
Sure. I mean, I can start with, why did I even write a book about beauty?
Sure.
I'm a psychologist. I left the world of professional dance and modeling, thinking that I would probably never visit with that world again. But it was, in fact, because I had spent so much time in these two different worlds and then moved to become a psychologist that I said, I want to actually add some depth and meaning to what we all feel as our looks change, and that looks do matter. So let me start with that and say,
sure.
I identified a phenomenon that I call the beauty paradox, which is that most women, especially women who are baby boomers who are hitting midlife now by the millions, but I see that it's affecting younger women. I think you're one of them.
Yes.
This phenomenon is that we have been faced with two quite incompatible messages. We were brought up to believe, post-feminist women, that our looks were going to take a back seat to other assets. You know, our intelligence, our competence, these were going to be the aspects of who we were that defined us. And yet we're hitting midlife just at a time where our culture is obsessed by youth and beauty. You can't turn around without someone saying, defy your age. You know, don't look what you are, your real age, because you risk becoming invisible. So with these two trends hitting each other just at our midlife, women are stuck in this place where they're saying, well, if I'm true to myself, then what happens to the way I look? But if I fight my age, then how do I remain true to the ideals and values I were brought up, with? So the first thing I tell women is you have to look at beauty as meaning more than just about a superficial topic. This is something that resonates very deeply to the core of who we are. It runs back millions of years to the origins of the function and the role that women played in our world. We were supposed to attract a mate. We can't just dismiss looks as being unimportant because we fought so hard to make other things important. So that's the first thing. It's a very tough thing to come to terms with, especially being a baby boomer. But all women have to look at what role are our looks going to play as we develop into more complicated, more women who have many more rights, who crash greater and higher ceilings. What role do looks play?
Yeah.
I laugh in the book. I make a joke of it, but it's really not a joke. When Rush Limbaugh said, when Hillary Clinton was running for trying to get her candidacy for president, and says, "Why would we ever want to watch a woman get old in front of our eyes?" I said, oh, I mean,
so sick.
Got lots of people say, yeah, you're right. And I think, you've got to be joking.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't joking.
No, he wasn't joking. And then, you know, God forbid, if Hillary had gone under some kind of procedure, she would have been beaten up hugely by the media.
Okay, so
but at the same time, they don't want her to look old. I mean,
right.
So it's
that's
horrible.
The paradox. You
yes.
got it right there.
Yeah.
We are, public figures, of course, have it most difficult. And I write about this as saying, you know, women going under the knife under scrutiny is a very tough position because people take sides.
Yeah, they do.
either I'm true to myself or I betray myself. But I feel like there's a responsibility for women who are facing this dilemma now to show a younger generation that there are better ways to resolve this dilemma than to do things that are irrevocable. And what I mean by is, you know, the unfortunate results of somebody like a Rivers who changes her face in order to maintain what she believes, I assume, is beauty in the eyes of others. It's kind of tragic to me.
I think so, too. I saw Cher recently, and I thought she looks the same as she did 40 years ago. I don't understand. Like, who would want... it just seemed creepy to me.
Well, that's the response I get from a lot of women I talk to. On the other hand, we have to be realistic when we look at the statistics of women who are undergoing those procedures. So people
that's
will
true.
Say to me, like you just said,
yeah.
It's creepy. Or, oh, I would never do that. And yet there's been a 450% increase
yes.
in cosmetic procedures of women in midlife. And what's even more frightening is that the steepest rise in that statistic is women under 30.
Mm-hmm. So, and teenagers.
Well, as young as below the age of 19.
Yes.
You know, it's supposed to be, it's only approved for women over 18, but it's being done on younger women. Now, what are those women doing? Those women are saying or hearing from their dermatologist, are saying, I don't want to ever look like my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because mother looks panicked. Mother looks unhappy. Mother looks old and not beautiful to them because their mothers don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I have young people say to me, my mother is the most beautiful woman in the world, and I don't want her to do anything. So there are women who are doing it, who are aging gracefully. I think, you know, Helen Mirren is an example, a Peggy Fleming, a Diane Sawyer. I don't know if they do anything. I don't feel like it's my right to, engage in speculation, except to say, I think there are women who are beginning to show signs that there are definitions of beauty that go beyond youth.
And yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and also, I mean, I'm not against like a little thing here and there. Just think when you try to look the same as you did when you were 25. That's what I was saying. It was creepy because I think people can do what they want. But I also think, like you say in your book, it has to come from a healthy place and not from a reactive place out of fear.
Yes, I'm in agreement with that. I say, like you, I'm not against or for, you know, taking sides. I think being thoughtful about how you proceed through the changes you see. But I will say that there is a slippery slope.
That's true.
That once you start a cosmetic procedure to improve, and I shouldn't say improve, improvement is a better one than keep from being old. there is a tendency that if, just like you get a new couch, your carpet looks old. Your carpet looks old, then your curtains look old,
nice.
And then it leads to one thing after another. And if we don't look at that trend that is beginning younger and younger now, that if I use Botox, then maybe the next thing is Restylane, and maybe I get my neck done. And that's not really getting a facelift, but I think we have to at least step back and question whether while there are better things out there that can be done to promote the health and beauty of our bodies and skin, we have to at the same time shift the way we think about beauty for women as they get older. I think that that has a great importance on the way in which you can even enjoy some of those things that we can do for our faces.
You know, I agree. And that's what's so great about your book. I mean, you have 6 steps that can help women deal with what's going on with them. And I think part of it really is you have the uh-oh moment and you want to turn it into an aha moment.
Right.
And the uh-oh moment is when you really get that hit of, oh my goodness, I look old, you know. And I turned 43 recently and everyone thinks I'm 10 years younger than I am. But I start seeing these lines increase and suddenly it's like, what is this? Where did this butt come from? Like, what is going on?
Right.
You know, and I don't feel like me anymore. And that's the thing about, well, how do I And how do I turn this into an aha moment? And this is me. It's just me changing, right?
Well, you know, I sometimes tell women we're much more critical of ourselves than we would be of anyone.
Oh, definitely.
So imagine some of the things we say to ourselves. Would we ever say that to our closest friend? Mm-hmm. Like, I see, you know, your lines on your face, and to me, that looks ugly. No. There's no way, because what you see in a friend is the connection you have to them, who they are. And I think it's understandable that when we see those changes, we associate them with something like, uh-oh, I'm scared, uh-oh, there's no going back. Yes, that does resonate with something deep within us because I think, like I said before, anthropologically, we did not live this long feeling that we were going toward aging. It used to be you were a woman, you attract a mate, you have your babies, and your life is over.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, we are now extending that period for 30, 40 years. So the uh-oh is, what is my role going to be as I see those changes, those wrinkles that behind that doesn't look like mine when I look in the mirror, you know, reflecting.
Yeah.
Whose is that? My mother's? And I think, well, yes, you are going to begin to shift in the way you see beauty playing a role in your life. One of the reasons I felt I could write this book is I've been seeing that since I left dance and left modeling. I was not what I identified my sort of self to be. That image, even if it was enhanced by, you know, lots of airbrushing, and I was not going to be that. So I was mourning an image of myself for a very long time. So that actually when I came into my 50s, when I saw the uh-oh moments that many other women share, I felt very prepared. And that's what those six steps are. It's giving yourself the tools to manage those feelings so that you can get past the uh-oh, the fear, the I look like my mother, I don't know what this means, what is my future going to hold? If you get past that, and I see this with many women who do go through that process and get to the other side, they start to feel, aha, so this is what I will look like and enjoy looking like, rather than trying to hold on to something that's impossible to hold on to.
Yeah,
and when you look at, you know, when you look at Cher and you say, well, she does look like she looked like 4 years ago, but how does she feel about that?
Yeah.
Does she feel more beautiful? I'm telling you, most of the women I know who've had radical changes through plastic surgery, they don't tell me they feel that much more beautiful.
Wow.
That's kind of striking. An occasional person will say, you know, I had my breasts reduced or I had my breasts lifted, or they'll tell me they had a tummy tuck after having babies, and they'll say it was the best thing I did. And I said, well, that's really great that we have things like that we can do now. But in general, I'd say a larger percentage thing, I really have mixed feelings about it. I miss my face.
Oh.
Such a touching thing when I hear women say
that. Yeah, that really is.
If only I had gotten to them before they did that, they would still have their face and maybe they'd think they were beautiful.
Yeah, no, that is so important. And, you know, you talk about in step two about I love this, the only mask you wear should be made of honey and yogurt. And that's talking about dealing with the real feelings and not denying them. And then you talk about that. I love how you say, look at those lips. To me, it looks so fake. I think it has to do with that hiding behind the mask. And they're doing things that I don't think necessarily are things they really want to be doing. They're just afraid. So if they can get to the real feelings behind it. And part of that is looking at the inner dialogue, what they're saying to each other. And then the one that I really related to was give her mom her due. Take the best of her and leave the rest behind.
Yes,
when I was growing up, I was very skinny, which at a time where it wasn't as fashionable, I guess. I mean, I was made fun of all the time and called olive oil and stuff. Frizzy hair, braces. All my friends had boyfriends. I was the last one to get my period, and I had a really big nose.
Uh-huh.
And my mom would always say, you have such a beautiful, small face. I have this little face with these big, pretty eyes.
Uh-huh.
And she'd say, oh, if you would just get your nose done. I mean, I'm like 14.
Uh-huh.
And she pressured me, and I did, and it's crooked, and I didn't like the way it turned out. And I didn't want to do it in the first place. And I think that's why now I'm so quick to, if I see something, I'm like, oh, well, I can go to fix. I should get it fixed. Even though I'm angry that I listened to my mother and that I did that. that. I've always had resentment about that. And I'm reading a book right now that's wonderful called Good Girls Don't Get Fat.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about that yeah. don't tell your daughter that they're fat. Everybody else is doing it, and it's just yeah. going to make everything worse. And I just relate to that, and I think it really relates to you, so I wanted to share that story.
No, I think that's very insightful. I'm glad it made you think that when you read the book.
Yes.
When I tell mothers and I tell daughters that there's a balance between telling your children how to take care of themselves
exactly.
with adding to it that they are beautiful in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't mean being exclusive of one another, because if you don't tell your daughter about some of the things they can do that would enhance their pleasure, I think you're depriving them of one of the nice things about being a woman.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so,
true.
You know, I think you can go to the other extreme.
Oh, my gosh,
and say,
yes.
Looks don't matter.
Yeah.
But also not take care of yourself. And no matter what you tell your child,
mm-hmm.
if you don't take care of yourself as you get older, the message is, you know, that's not an important thing. Beauty should not matter. And some of those girls grow up feeling guilty or ashamed that, in fact, they do care.
Yes, and you write about Annie, who had a lack of interest in her appearance and
yeah.
an almost disdain for it, but then she really listened to her inner dialogue, and it was saying something else. And when she listened to it, it was like, it's okay to care about how she looks, and that's okay. Just because her family wasn't into that, it really, she needs to accept her own feelings.
Right, if you take the time to actually read, which it sounds like you really did.
I really did. I always do.
Internal dialogues are helpful in lots of areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things we do in therapy is try to get people to say out loud what they're thinking. The problem is too few therapists actually encourage people to talk out loud about their thoughts about their looks.
Yes.
Because they say, it's what's inside that should count. And I say, yeah, but what's inside our thoughts about how we look.
It's true.
And so why don't we put that into words, because you will be surprised to hear yourself saying things that are actually very revealing about your relationship to your appearance. And
yeah.
once you have that information, then you have a chance to actually change the dialogue. You'll hear things that your mother might have said to you, like, oh, that nose,
oh.
or how fat you were. And you said, you know what? I'm the one in control of that dialogue now. I could say when I see my weight that, you know, I could lose a little weight, but maybe instead of being so condemning, I could be encouraging and saying, well, given my genes and given my age, I look pretty good, but I could get more in shape.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm all about health, obviously. You know, I mean, I have a master's in public health. I've been in the health field for over 20 years. I do this. I do the two radio shows, health TV show. It's about being healthy that really is healthy, not fad diets and
right.
doing things that are detrimental to yourself.
And
I mean, that's the difference.
Some of these cosmetic procedures probably could be meshed a little bit more with how to appear more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What we have in medicine today that might actually promote the health of your skin, I think there's something to that.
I do.
That's
too.
Very different than showing the before and after pictures of, you know, how you could look if you pull back your skin, you know, or these advertisements that encourage middle-aged women to look like the models who are, you know, advertising products who are clearly half their age.
When I was a kid, I have to say, it would annoy me that Oil of Olay, my mom used to use Oil of Olay, and the commercials, even as a kid, I was like, but those women look like my babysitter's age. Like, I remember thinking, this is kind of weird, you know, maybe I was above, you know, before my time,
again,
but
you know,
I noticed it back then. I mean, I was literally like 10 years old, and I'm like,
yeah.
but those aren't even older women.
I think we need more outspoken responses.
Yes.
That's why I wrote this book. That's why you're doing your show. That's why
mm-hmm.
you asked me to be on your show.
Oh, yes.
I think because lots of women have that reaction. And yet Madison Avenue, who has played around a little bit with having real women, I wrote a piece about, is real really in?
Mm-hmm.
There is some movement happening.
Yes.
Trying to bring real women who are closer to their real age on television, in print, but they're afraid. I mean, their fear, of course, is down to money, that if they do
yeah.
that, people won't find the products as appealing. It won't appeal to the eye that has been trained to see beauty as youth. So who is it up to? It's up to mothers and their daughters. It's up to women with other women. When I walk down the street, I truly see women through a different lens. And I'll say it out loud. And not because I want to cheer them up, because I actually see it that way. Imagine if everybody's lens was trained to see women differently.
I know, that would be fantastic.
It may be, you know, Pollyannish. I may have rose colors on, but I really do feel there are women, and I'm sure you can find one, and the next person, that you see a 90-year-old woman who you look at and go, wow, she's gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Definitely.
We all have a woman or two like that.
Mm-hmm.
If the world was filled with more of those women, I'm sure if some of those women who did those radical surgeries let themselves age more beautifully or naturally, but
yes,
take care of themselves, they'd be one of those women too.
Well, you just said something so profound, let themselves. I feel like people, and this is something I think Julia Roberts said, she kind of, or somebody, one of the actresses said, I kind of want to see what I'm going to look like before I start making all the changes. Like, they don't even give themselves a chance to see what it'll be. And one thing I want to bring up that, because we only have a few minutes left, that I thought was so huge and something that I think about is, you write, quote, many women feel aging is their fault. We blame ourselves for a natural process, ashamed and embarrassed about our failure. I find myself doing that. I'll be embarrassed, like, oh, I'm on TV, how can I have this line? Or, oh, I'm, you know, because I'm in the media, or even before, I mean, I'll be honest, even before I was doing this, I've always been more critical because of that voice in my head of my mother. And I think this is ridiculous. Why are we beating ourselves up for something that happens naturally? It's so sad.
I think our culture has had a very strong impact
mm-hmm.
on that. I think mothers then can reinforce it by responding to the culture. We have a big challenge ahead of us.
We're
going to see those lines, and instead of feeling what's wrong with me or embarrassed or will other people see it. But I have to say the number one experience that women who do feel attractive as they age, that they share, is a sense of confidence that the world will see the beauty they show, and that it's that feeling, that confident feeling, that then makes other people see you that way.
I see. And I feel like I have that inner glow.
I
have a really, I'm not trying to brag, but I do. I have a very warm personality. My husband teases me because I know everyone's name at the store and their kids' names, and I love talking to people and making
friends.
So,
Lisa, let's give you this one piece of advice, and then you share with others.
Okay.
If you have that feeling,
okay,
remember that your eyes that engage with other people never have to get old. Your smile never has to get old. You can keep that smile no matter what age you are, and the way you hold yourself, the way you carry yourself in the world, can always remain the same.
Oh,
those are things that are really truly ageless. So that if you have those fine lines or you see those sags, remember those three things.
Okay.
And when you do, you might surprise yourself. You become less self-critical. You have that confidence, and you know your daughter might feel it too. And
that's
she'll look
true.
At you, and she doesn't see those lines because she sees those other things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she's amazing. And it's true. I mean, having a six-year-old, and again, this is something that is so important for women, is we don't want to be putting ourselves down in front of our daughters.
Yes,
it's
true.
Terrible, because
think
then they pick up on that.
You. When you walk in a room, think of how she sees you.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised at how much more beautiful you feel. They'll always see you that way. That's the interesting thing, if we can hold on to that.
Well, Dr. Diller, I could talk to you all day. I want to encourage everyone to get face at what women really feel as their looks change. It's such a helpful book. I love all the stories. And again, I'm struggling with this issue, and I find it so helpful. And how can people learn more about you and your wonderful work?
You know, go to faceitthebook.com. It keeps people aware of the events that I'm attending. I speak all around on radio, around the world, everywhere but Africa so far, and the issues are the same. You'd be surprised. Every woman is struggling with this. If we join together, go to the book, go to my website, go to your website, and talk to other women. Talk to your friends. Talk to your children, to your mother. we all join together, I think that we might be more successful than our previous generation.
Oh, I agree. I want to thank you again. And if people want to learn more, they can go to itsyourhealthnetwork.com. You can watch It's Your Health TV. You can listen to audio archives of It's Your Health Radio. You can check me out on KKZZ every Wednesday for Wellness Wednesday with Freeman Michaels on the Freeman Michaels Show in Ventura County, just right outside of LA. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.